Would you take your Bibles this morning and join me in turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, that passage that we're going to be looking at, verses 1 through 13, is also printed in your bulletin. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 13, and while you're finding that location in your Bible, I will dismiss the children to children's church. If you have children ages 4 through the 4th grade and would like for them to attend our children's church, they can be dismissed now. They are certainly welcome to stay in the service, but we do have people prepared to take them and teach them. I have a confession to make this morning. I don't think it'll shock you. I don't know everything. Ha! You already knew that, right? It's no confession. No, there's something in particular that even though I've been a Christian for more than 40 years, I have degrees in religion and theology, I've spent 35 years plus teaching the Word of God, almost 30 years of that as a pastor, there's still much that I don't really know about the subject we're going to look at this morning, spiritual gifts. Sometimes I feel like I know. There's a lot more that I don't know than I do know. I've read books on this subject. I've gone through inventories of spiritual gifts. I've done a lot of study in this area. But one of the things that I found is not everybody looks at spiritual gifts the same way. But you know, I think that's okay. Because I think I understand enough about spiritual gifts for it to be helpful to me and to you. I think I understand enough for us to understand the main point of what Paul writes about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we're not going to read the entire chapter. We're just going to read the first 13 verses. The whole chapter really is about spiritual gifts. We're going to read the first 13 verses, but we're going to focus on one verse. But for context, let's read verses 1 through 13. Of 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Would you bow with me as we pray again? Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand it in order to apply it to our lives, not merely for our good, but for the building up of your church and for the exalting of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The key verse that I want us to focus on is verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Because while I don't understand everything about spiritual gifts, I think what we need to understand is pretty much there. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There are three observations that I will make from that verse. And then I want to make three comments and then make three applications to that. First of all, the three observations. The first is this. Every believer is gifted for service. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We'll look at the manifestation of the Spirit in a minute, but to each, who is the each? It's you and me. It's all those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those of whom Paul writes in verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. If you have been baptized in the Spirit, not if you had some ecstatic experience after conversion. No, if you are a believer and you have been baptized into the Holy Spirit, then you are one of the each who has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. Notice how Paul expresses it in the beginning, verses 2 and 3. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. What he's talking about are the two classes of people. Those who are outside of Christ, those who are led astray to mute idols. That's anyone outside of Christ, anyone who's not a believer. And those are the ones who are unable not to mouth the words Jesus is Lord, but to confess. Not just with mouth, but with heart. Jesus is Lord. See, that's what Paul's talking about. He's not talking about somebody who merely mouths words, but somebody who embraces, both with his confession and with his life, this truth, Jesus is Lord. And those people who have done that and whose lives demonstrate that are the each to whom has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. This is not just 1 Corinthians 12, this is Romans 12, this is 1 Peter 4, this is a number of passages in the scripture that teach us that every believer has a spiritual gift. Now you may wonder, what is my gift? I don't know. I don't care if I know what your gift is. I know what mine is. But I care about you discovering your gift. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we get to the application, the implications and application aspect of it. What we need to understand now is that each one has been given a gift. The second observation is that every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit for service. This is not something you gave yourself. It's not something the church bestowed upon you. It's not something you're given in some kind of ceremony. It's something the Holy Spirit, the sovereign Spirit of God, gives to believers. Again, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Notice what Paul writes down in verses 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Don't forget that the Holy Spirit is God. He is one of the persons of the triune Godhead. And as God, He is the one who imparts to us the gifts that He has been empowered or chosen to give to us. So we need to keep in mind a couple of things here. Spiritual gifts may be special abilities that we receive after salvation, or they may also be things that we had some inclination for before, but they are now used in a special way by the Holy Spirit for the good of the church and the glory of God. But what we need to see is that the Holy Spirit is in charge of who He assigns which gifts. One of the problems that we have sometimes in the church is gift envy. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you your gift. And we are therefore to submit to God, the Holy Spirit, in how He has made us and how He has gifted us. The third observation is that every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit for service to the body. And if there's one thing, and there is at least one thing, but if there's only one thing that I would like for you to take away this morning, that's it. Every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit, not simply to be gifted. Not simply to enjoy the gift. Certainly not to boast about the gift. Every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit for service to the body. Again, Paul writes, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You realize it's entirely possible to be a gifted Christian and a carnal Christian at the same time. I mean, that is an immature Christian at the same time. It is entirely possible to have a great spiritual gift and yet be using that gift selfishly. Be using that gift in a way that does not honor the Lord. We are not gifted to boast about it or to build ourselves up. We are gifted to serve the body of Christ. So the most important question to ask about spiritual gifts is this. Not what is my gift? It is, am I serving the body? That's the important question. Am I serving the body of Christ? Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 about spiritual gifts. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And he's talking to the church. Not talking to the glee club. Not talking to the Masons. He's not talking to some good external institution. He's talking to the church. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How do we glorify God in the use of our gifts? By serving one another. That's it. That's how God is glorified in us through our gifts. So, let me make three comments about that. First of all, unless providentially hindered, you should be serving somewhere in the church. And by providentially hindered, I mean if for this season in your life, you're physically unable, or the Lord has done something to remove you temporarily from being here geographically. Obviously, that's not true for you, but that may be true for a period of time. There are people who are removed, people who join the service, people who go to college, people who are on work assignment somewhere else. And obviously, you can't serve your local church when you're not here. But unless you are providentially hindered, you should be serving somewhere in, and not just the church, your church, this church, Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. Second comment. Ministry in the body of Christ is to be spirit-directed and spirit-empowered, not program-driven or personal preference-focused. Ministry in the body of Christ is to be spirit-directed and spirit-empowered. That is, we serve because we're gifted. And we should serve as much as possible where we're gifted. And we should also serve where we are needed. Spirit-empowered, spirit-directed and spirit-empowered, not program-driven. You know, XYZ Church down the road has this ministry. We should have that ministry. XYZ Church has this program. We should have that program. That's not how the church is to be led. It's not how ministry is to be done. It's to be done according to how God has gifted His body. It should be Spirit-directed and Spirit-empowered, not program-driven or personal preference-focused. You know, I like the fact that this church has a big blank ministry. So we should do that. I like that ministry. Maybe we should if the Spirit has gifted us, empowered us, and is directing us because He has gifted us and is empowering us to do that ministry. So ministry in the body of Christ should be Spirit-directed and Spirit-empowered, not program-driven or personal preference-focused. Third comment. Your role in the church should be about building up the body and glorifying Christ, which really are synonymous. You glorify Christ through your gift by building up the body, not pleasing yourself. That's not your role, is to be here to please yourself. My role is not to be here to please myself. So those are the comments. You should be serving. Ministry is to be Spirit-directed and Spirit-empowered. And your role is about building up the body and glorifying Christ. So let me mention three areas of application, three ways that we can move towards applying this. First of all, submit your attitude and your will to the Lord. Submit your attitude and your will to the Lord. It starts with your attitude, which begins by joining a church. If you're not a church member, then you should join a local church and think of the church not as a place to be served, but as a place to serve. Not as a place to have your needs met, but as a place to help build up the body of Christ. Because if you are serving, if you are helping build up the body, your needs will be met. The Lord will in turn meet the needs that He knows you have. Now, of course, preliminary to joining a church means becoming a part of the body of Christ spiritually by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As one who is here this morning, if you have not yet put your trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, obviously you can't be a part of His body, you can't be a part of the local church, and you don't have a spiritual gift by which or with which to serve the Lord and His church. And that's not just an insignificant thing at all. I hope you understand that your eternal destiny, not just where your role in the body, your place in the body, but your eternal destiny is hanging in the balance. If you have not received Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, you can do that today, right where you are. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Your word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know, not just because it's in your word, I know in my heart that that's true of me. I've come short of your standards. But I know that you are God of grace. And while I have earned judgment by my sin, Christ has stepped in front of that judgment, has taken that for me. And you raised Him from the dead so that I might have life. I put my trust in Jesus. You can do that right where you are. You can share that with this congregation later in the time of response. But you need trust Christ. You need to be a member of a local church so that you can use your giftedness through that church. So join a church. Stop thinking of it as a place to be served, but as a place to give. Second, get rid of your independent spirit. Some of you are happy to serve as long as you dictate the terms. You need to get rid of that spirit. That's an independent, unsubmissive, unbiblical spirit. Third, stop making excuses for not serving. Fourth, eliminate any attitudes and or actions that get in the way of serving the Lord at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church or your local church. If your membership is not here and it's not going to be here, it needs to be somewhere where you can plant your life and serve the Lord. You need to get rid of any attitudes and any actions that would get in the way of your serving the Lord through your local church. So, first of all, first application, submit your attitude and your will to the Lord. Second, find a place to serve in the body that edifies the body of Christ. What do you like to do that needs to be done to build up the body of Christ? It may or may not be a particular program in the church, even a particular ministry in the church. It may be the Lord is leading you to start that. Is there some need that's been expressed at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church that you could serve? You're not sure if you're gifted there, but there's a need there, and so you'll step into that position, that need. And let me tell you, more than likely, you'll know within that time of service, that period of commitment, whether or not you're gifted there. It's a lot easier to find your gift through your service than to find your service by figuring out your gift. Just serve. Where is there a need? Step in. Where has a need been expressed? Step in. Say, yes, I will do that. I'll commit to do that for this period of time. And then at the end of that commitment, if you say, I am not gifted here, and I've done that many times, you move on to something else. But find a place in the body that edifies the body. Perhaps, as I referenced earlier, you have a burden and you think a gifting for something that we're not doing, and maybe that's how the Lord is leading to begin that ministry. We can certainly talk about that. We have ministries now. We have opportunities for service. That's exactly how that began. People came to me and said, Pastor, I think we need this. Now, I love it when the person who comes to me also says, I think I'm led to do that. Because when they don't do that, what's implied is, and I think you ought to do it. And that's not happening. So maybe it's something that the Lord is calling you to do that we need to be doing, but we're not. But find a place to serve. A place in the body that edifies the body. And then the third application is, I have a great place for you to get started, especially if you're not currently serving anywhere. This morning, a few of you were here for our deacons to be able to present and share about the ministry teams that they lead. There are three ministry teams. There's a visitation team, visits people in the hospital, people who are homebound shut-ins, and on occasion, people who are in hospice situations. That's an opportunity to serve. There is a membership matters team that helps to meet specific needs of our members, helping new members to get assimilated, but also when people are going through different kinds of passage times, like somebody's getting married, somebody's having a baby. We want to make sure those people get the ministry that they need during those times, or when someone has lost a family member or something like that. That's what the membership matters team is there for. And then there's the benevolence and physical or material needs team that helps to meet those kinds of needs. The beautiful thing, and it really is to me a beautiful thing about these ministry teams, is you don't have to be elected except a membership. If you're a member of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, you can serve on one of these teams simply by signing up. That's it. That's all you have to do. And so if you're not serving, or maybe even if you are serving somewhere else, this is a great opportunity to build up the body of Christ and glorify the Lord. But I come back to my main point, point number one. And that is this. Unless providentially hindered, you should be serving somewhere in the church. Every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit for service to the body of Christ. So, where are you serving? Where do you need to be serving? Will you ask the Lord about that? Will you have a willing attitude, a willing spirit to do that? Don't waste the Spirit's gift or gifts to you. Serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning again for your word and for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel is not just a message of deliverance from judgment to your favor, which it is, but it's also a way of life. Lord, it is following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Lord, we know that we cannot give our lives as ransoms. We cannot pay for anyone's sin, but Lord, we can certainly give our lives to serve one another and to glorify you. Help us to examine our hearts, to examine our attitudes. Help us, Lord, to step out of inactivity into activity. Not just anything, not just busyness, Lord, but genuine service to you. Ministry, spirit empowered, spirit directed, that builds up your body. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, even as we sing, search our hearts, Lord. Search me, O God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.